This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday at that. And lucky for you, I'm coming back. I'm not retiring.
Yeah.
Who stays around longer, me or LeBron? I'm going me. I'm going to stay around longer than LeBron James.
You have inside information.
Yes, I do. Sources close to me tell me if they would have invited me to the ESPYs, I would have made the announcement there. But nope, they had to invite Pat McAfee to be the host, not me.
And the winner of the best radio TV show, former ESPN that left 17 years ago, award goes to Dan Patrick.
Yay! Yay! Congratulations.
How did I win that one?
You guys said we would never get into Anchorage, Alaska, and I told you you're wrong, because the Dan Patrick Show can now be heard on Fox Sports 550 AM, Anchorage, Alaska. They dropped a 25-year affiliation with ESPN Radio.
See ya!
Want to thank Crash, the program director, and the VP of programming, Mark Murphy, adding to the already impressive list of radio shows that carry this program.
I have very good friends who live in Anchorage, Alaska.
Well, give a shout out.
All right,
to
shout
them.
Out Tommy and Amanda. What's up?
Okay. Tommy and Amanda
Pace.
Yes,
killing it.
Yes.
Say hello to the girls.
Meat Friday. In case you're wondering, and I know you are, what are you having today? Well, in honor of LeBron James, tacos. It's Taco Friday.
Okay. Why not?
Skirt steak street tacos, loaded grilled chicken tacos, pulled pork nachos.
Whoa.
Who has it better than we do?
No.
Nobody.
We're giddy.
Oh, dear.
This program brought to you by the great folks at King's Hawaiian. They want every Sunday to be a slider Sunday. We love our partners at King's Hawaiian, as they want you to get together with family and friends and King's Hawaiian buns. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Coming up, we'll talk to the great baseball reporter Buster Olney from the Mothership. I think there's a mystery team that could be interested in Shohei Ohtani. A mystery team that will shock you. Giants are probably interested. The Dodgers, you have the Yankees, maybe another team or two in there. Texas Rangers, a lot of success. I think there is a mystery team that will shock you. We'll talk to Buster coming up next hour. Our good buddy, my childhood hero, Jerry West, the Laker Hall of Famer, will join us coming up a little bit later on as well. Baseball starts back up tonight. You got the Dodgers and the Mets in New York, weather permitting. NFL camps open on Tuesday. Explain this to me. There are some camps that open up on the same day as everybody else, and then there are ones that maybe 3 days later will open up. Tuesday is the official date that you can open up your training camp, but then there are other camps that open up like 3 days later, 2 days later. Is there any logic to this? I would think if you're in the Hall of Fame game, you should be able to get there before everybody else does, because you have the first preseason game. Yes, Paulie?
Yeah, I'm looking at all the dates, and they're very random. Like the Cleveland Browns, everybody reports, even the veterans, by the 21st. But then a bunch of other places, like the Packers, it's the 25th for the veterans. But the Kansas City Chiefs, the veterans are on the 22nd. Hmm. What if there was a rule that the worst you are as a team the previous year, the earlier you're allowed to start practice?
Like June for the Texans.
Right, like the Bears could have started in May.
Yeah.
Because they need it.
They could have started right after the Super Bowl.
Could have helped.
Yeah, they could have.
That could be kind of a cool rule.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of randomness, and I can't see any. Most of them, the veterans report on the 25th, but there's a few that report earlier.
I don't know if everybody's happy that the Jets are going to be on Hard Knocks. I'm okay with it. But it felt like the Jets went kicking and screaming into Hard Knocks. Here's Aaron Rodgers on that topic.
One of the only things I like about Hard Knocks is the voice of God who narrates it. Live. I hope I get to meet him. But look, you know, I understand the appeal with us. Obviously, there's a lot of eyes on me, a lot of eyes on our team, a lot of expectations for our squad. So they force it down our throats, and we got to deal with it.
Force it down your throat. Now, if you get Aaron Rodgers being the true Aaron Rodgers, then Hard Knocks could be really interesting, where they say, hey, Aaron, can we talk to you? Not today. Or he doesn't want to cooperate. Then it would be a little bit, then it could be interesting. But let's look at Hard Knocks. It's formulaic. We sort of know what's going to happen. It's rare that they focus on the star. Unless the star is always, you know, like omnipresent. Like J.J. Watt was always there, always willing, and they focused on him. But with Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if he wants the publicity. I think he likes publicity, but does he likes it when he likes it, when he wants it. When you want it, then maybe he's not as accommodating here. But this to me should be about a rookie, not drafted, baby on the way, trying to make the roster. Or somebody plays a musical instrument. Like Chad Hutchinson with the Cowboys years ago?
Yeah, the quarterback.
Yeah, he played guitar. That's all I remember about him, that he played guitar. I don't know if he could play quarterback. I don't even know if he could play guitar. And then I would focus on Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson should be the focal point of the Jets with Hard Knocks. Because, okay, now you've taken away the marquee guys, the starters, and you can focus on an interesting story of number two overall pick, got humbled. Got benched. Now all of a sudden, he's watching Aaron Rodgers, learning from Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron Rodgers going to help him? You know, when Rodgers got to the Packers, Brett Favre didn't help him. I don't know how much Tom Brady helps Jimmy Garoppolo when they're in New England, but that would be interesting. Rodgers helping or not helping Zach Wilson, and then seeing what that maturation process is. Yes, Pauline.
I think Aaron Rodgers loves being on Hard Knocks. He hates being told what to do, right? Like, it's weird. He loves he'll probably enjoy the cameras, enjoy manipulating.
Oh, so you're saying that if they weren't asked, if then he would have wanted to have been on.
Exactly.
Hard
if somehow the Jets had the choice and requested, I think a few owners in the past have requested to do it, including Jerry Jones. He would have been fine with it, but I don't think I'm sure he does not like being told what to do.
Did you see where Jerry Jones gave Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court a Cowboys ring? But I don't know. It can't be a Super Bowl ring because that's a long time ago. But Jerry Jones gave Clarence Thomas a Cowboys ring. But I don't. Can you find out if it's a Super Bowl ring? Because that would have been a long time ago. I was kind of surprised at that. Yes, Paul.
It appears that he was gifted a Super Bowl ring, a copy of a Super Bowl ring back a long time ago.
Hmm. Well, when did he get the ring?
When was it given to Justice Thomas?
Yeah.
Checking.
Okay. Because there hasn't been a recent Super Bowl.
Dang.
What if you try to fool him? Give him like a 2013?
No, give him like a Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl ring. You know?
It says this was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, it was a long time ago with the ring.
I have some friends in the media who have gotten Super Bowl rings because they're friends of the owner, friends of the team. But I can imagine Jerry Jones would say, you know, he gave Clarence Thomas a Super Bowl ring because he's a leader. He's a leader. 877-3DP-SHOW.
Yeah, this is a wacky day.
It is. Going to be a goofy show today.
Would you rather be on the Supreme Court or own the Dallas Cowboys?
I'd rather own the Dallas Cowboys.
Really? Where do you make more money?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It sounds like they're getting a lot of gifts there on the Supreme Court.
Neither can lose their job under any circumstances.
Yeah. Well, I would rather own the Cowboys than
really?
Be the Supreme. Yeah. The Supreme Court doesn't sound like any fun. You put on a robe and then you sit there and you got to decide.
Get to wear a robe to work. That'd be fantastic.
You can wear a robe here.
Really?
Yes.
You should not tell Fritzy that.
Yes. You can
I'm
wear
all
a
in
robe.
On that.
You can wear a robe if you want to. Like a Harry Potter robe, if you want to.
I think I go Supreme Court. That seems like a real accomplishment.
Well, if I got the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, that's a real accomplishment.
Yeah. Well, I think Supreme Court might be easier.
Yes, Eden.
I have Clarence Thomas assuming office in 1991.
Ooh, so.
So he would have been there for a couple of rings. A
couple of Cowboys.
Yeah.
Super Bowls.
Maybe thrice.
Okay. Yes, Marvin.
Paulie, I disagree with you. Brown versus Board or getting the Cowboys to the Super Bowl? Come on.
Overturning legislation is easier than getting the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, believe me.
By the way, I think Jerry Jones is more powerful than Clarence Thomas.
Oh, wow.
With the NFL?
Fair.
Yeah. By the way, we always have Marvin's cookout playlist, and he says to me yesterday, hey, how about our favorite TV theme songs? And I said, sure. I'm all in. Everybody picked their favorite TV theme song, and then we'll play those. They'll be sprinkled throughout the show.
Some of us picked two, but only really one.
Who picked two?
Well, I sent in two, and I said, here's one that I like, but then have this one ready.
Okay, but why do you do that?
Because I wanted to.
But you only get one.
Yeah, no.
No, but that...
He's going to bump back with one, and then I'm going to be like, but I was really torn with this other one, Marvin. Hit this other one.
No, that's
and then I'm
going
to get two in.
Yeah. Well, it's TV theme songs. That'll be the Marvin's Cookout playlist today. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Good morning.
Morning.
You're watching on Peacock. Thank you. Download the app and our radio affiliates, including Fox Sports 550 AM Anchorage, Alaska. Poll question today. We got some of Friday Fritzy poll questions. All right. Todd, you want to give me one or two?
I would like to.
Okay.
I'm most excited this weekend that Major League Baseball is back for the Wimbledon finals, mm-hmm. that Summer League basketball is ending, to see how the Genesis Scottish Open plays out.
So that it's ending?
Yeah.
Like that, know. Like that would make you excited?
Yeah, but some people are like, you know, enough of that. Stop pretending basketball is still going on.
But excited that it's
I'm
ending.
I'm most excited this weekend. Some people may be, you know what, I just had enough of these meaningless games and Wembanyama's not even playing, so who cares?
Right. I would probably say that baseball's back, followed by the Scottish Open, and then Wimbledon.
Wimbledon third, you'd put, the final.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I watch. But
the Genesis Scottish Open over the Wimbledon final.
Well, I love the scenery. I love when you have golf in Europe because we don't get to see. And then the Open Championship is going to be at Royal Liverpool. So I'm excited about that. I like seeing courses that I've never seen before. What else do you have, Todd?
I like that nobody, by the way, like Scoot and Brandon Miller, they're not being called soft for bowing out now of Summer League. They're like, no, we're done. We're shutting
well,
it down.
Well, Scoot had an injury.
Yeah.
Victor Wembanyama did not. But I have no problem.
Allegedly.
I have no problem.
Allegedly.
Hurt feelings.
Yeah,
hurt feelings. I have no problem if he played a couple of games. This is a long process. People are desperate to have something to talk about. What are we going to talk about today? We got a rip Victor Wembanyama. He played in two Summer League games. If you look down the list of number one picks who played in the Summer League or didn't play at all, did anybody say, boy, Luka's soft. He's not playing in the Summer League. Now, he wasn't the number one overall pick, but what else do you have, Toddler?
How many kids is too many? Four or five?
Okay,
hold on.
Phillip Rivers and his wife announced that they are pregnant with their 10th child.
Double-digit children.
Yes, so he needs one more for starting lineup football. All right, so how many kids is too many?
Choices being 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. 10 or more, 1 is too many. Wow, that's harsh.
Well, why didn't you get like 2 in there or 2.5 in there?
Because the average family has like 2.5 kids. I took 2 and 3 off the board. So I started with A lot more. Just having one has become just
okay. We'll revisit that. What else do you have today?
How much sleep have you lost waiting to see if Shohei Ohtani gets traded? A couple of hours here and there.
I think you're being very sarcastic.
A little bit.
There.
A lot of
Todd is extremely sarcastic.
I could be that.
Okay.
A lot. I'm exhausted. Strangely enough, I've actually gotten more rest lately with everything hovering over the Angels and Anaheim, what Shohei's going to do.
Okay. Anything else?
And then if Hard Knocks was about your love life.
No, hold this one. Yeah.
Hold this one for two years from now.
How about we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
And then we'll come back with this one. Because I just saw this when you sent it to me. If Hard Knocks was about your love life, what song would represent what the cameras pick up?
Interesting. On a Friday, I think it's kind of fun.
Let's take a break. Just getting started. It's a Friday. Glad to have you part of the program. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
That. La la la.
Well, growing up, and our family would be like, man, Family Ties, whitest show, blackest theme song.
Yeah,
fair. That was the original name of the show.
There.
I like that. Whitest show, blackest theme song.
Did you hear that soul? We were like, what will we do? Michael J. Fox comes up. Like, la, 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 la. It's like Marty McFly. It is.
Yeah. The young Republican.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Paulie.
That's one of those people who went from not being known whatsoever to an absolute star in about 6 weeks. It's like Eddie Murphy on SNL. I remember when Alex P. Keaton, the character on Family Ties, he was very popular real fast.
Yeah, and then what was the other? Was he Spin City? Was he on that too?
Yeah,
did a couple of them. But then, Back to the Future is where it was like, that's when he went global. Yeah, Paul.
He did a story, the interview with Michael J. Fox, the actor, and he said he almost couldn't do Back to the Future because of the TV show. At first, he was going to be kept out of it. And this actor named Eric Stoltz, remember him from the 80s and 90s? He was already shooting episodes, like the movie.
Yeah, he shot scenes.
Scenes. And then somehow they didn't like it, and they found a way to get Michael J. Fox 2 months to shoot it.
Yeah, he was shooting both. He was shooting Family Ties, Back to the Future. But, man, history could have changed a little bit there with Eric Stoltz.
And that's not a good sign if you're already shooting. And they're like, you know what?
You know,
let's stop down.
I know.
This isn't working.
That's crushing.
Man, that is tough.
That is crushing. I don't know. Has Eric Stoltz addressed that? Because I think Michael J. Fox talked about it a little bit. But Eric Stoltz was in Mask.
Yeah.
He was in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Some Kind of Wonderful, John Hughes movie. Great movie.
But he was in he was the drug guy who has to bring Uma Thurman back to life in Pulp Fiction.
What a great role.
Yeah, Lance.
Yeah, and then Roseanne Arquette is in the scene with him. That's his his girlfriend. Yeah.
Those are great cameos. It's such a small role by both of them.
Yeah.
But man, are they both so great in it.
All right, we'll get to more phone calls coming up here. Buster Olney, the great reporter and senior writer for the Mothership. Sunday Night Baseball. Sunday Night Baseball, Astros, Angels. Coverage starts at 7 Eastern on the Mothership. Let me start there with Shohei Ohtani. It feels like it's the only story in baseball. How big is the coverage going to get with Shohei Ohtani over the next 2 weeks, Buster?
It is going to dominate the sport. Where the question's going to be asked every day, you know, have you heard anything about the Angels putting the word out that they're ready to talk about Ohtani? Artie Moreno, in the end, in this decision, it's not going to be Perry Manassian, the general manager. You know this. I mean, it's going to be the owner, Artie Moreno, who said in spring training that he was not going to trade Ohtani as long as they were contending. Well, we're going into this two-week period where they're going to be facing teams that they're chasing. They start out with the Astros, then they play the Yankees, and a few series later they play the Toronto Blue Jays, and then they face the Atlanta Braves before the trade deadline. And at some point in those last 72 to 96 hours, we should hear, we probably might hear from Artie Moreno about whether or not he's going to trade Ohtani. And if he is traded, you talk about a frenzy. You know, idiots like me are going to be talking about this 24 hours a day.
Let's look at the possibilities here, because we do. I know there's a lot of speculation. There's probably wishful reporting for people in the media. But if you were saying how many viable candidates could trade for Shohei Ohtani?
Not as many as people think, right? He's making $30 million this season, which means that to take him on for the last 2 months, you're taking on $10 million and you're giving up a boatload of prospects, you know, young major league ready players. And they're just not a lot of teams who necessarily would entertain that. For example, you know, the Dodgers have made some of the biggest moves at the trade deadline over the last 6-7 years. Manny Machado, for example. What I'm hearing from general managers is they don't know if the Dodgers this year would do that type of move. I think the Yankees absolutely would be all in, which makes sense to me because you've got Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole and Giancarlo Stanton essentially being middle-aged in their major league careers. This is their opportunity to win. The Texas Rangers are competitively relevant for the first time in a decade. They're a team that might be in. And maybe a wild card would be the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, their front office is not typically a team that would spend the kind of money and resource package. But on the other hand, they had such a great first half before hemorrhaging ground toward the back end leading to the All-Star break. And maybe they would be uniquely aggressive. Well, like when Freddie Freeman was a free agent, they finished second in that bidding behind the Dodgers.
Wow.
So I think those are three teams to watch. There might be one or two others, but not nearly as many as what people think.
I thought the Giants, just because of the location, they were all in on Judge and Carlos Correa. Could the Giants be a wild card in this?
Yes, but I would say, again, this scouting report is provided by general managers around the sport. Farhan Zaidi runs their baseball operations department. This is not the type of move that he would typically make where, again, the combinations of dollars, which they have a ton of, they didn't sign Judge, they didn't sign Correa, and the prospects that's going to be required. And, you know, I think Farhan, in a clear-eyed moment, You know, he'd probably ask himself the question, are we close to being a championship caliber team? And I think the honest answer at this moment would be no.
Have the Angels made an offer?
I don't know if they've actually put a number out there, because the, as you know, the way this works is they essentially approach the agent and ask the question, are you ready to hear a number? Are you ready to negotiate? And they get fended off. Scott Boras has made a career of doing this. And I suspect that a similar conversation has taken place between the Angels and Ohtani's agent, Nespolelo, sometime in the next last six months. I asked this question in the last 48 hours. Hey, any sign of any last negotiation where the Angels go to Ohtani and say, look, we're ready to put a big number in front of you. Are you ready to hear that? And the answer I got back was no. Which makes sense. I mean, he's this close to free agency of walking into this perfect storm of desperate big market bidders, Dodgers, Mets, you know, Giants, you mentioned Mariners, maybe the Padres, maybe the Yankees. Why not play it out when you're this close to free agency?
All right, I'm going to make you Artie Moreno. What do you do?
Well, and if I'm Artie Moreno, not sleeping. Because on one hand, it's pretty clear that the best baseball move is to trade him, to get the prospects back. But on the other hand, why do we know the name Harry Frazee? Only for one reason. He was the guy who delivered the singular talent out of Boston into the hands of the New York Yankees. If you're Artie Moreno, politically, with your fan base and maybe for your legacy, the easiest thing to do is to wait till the fall, give an offer to Ohtani. If he turns it down, and that's what people expect that he's going to do, then you're off the hook. If you deliver him out of town for prospects, that's going to be your legacy forever. It's why last summer, I think, when the front office, the Angels, did its due diligence, they talked to other teams, they collected information, took it to Artie. From what I understand, Artie went crazy. Like, he was furious that they entertained the idea of trading Ohtani. And my gut is that's where he lands in the end, especially – I mean, Ohtani's having the greatest season we've ever seen. He's on a pace at 56 homers, driving 125 runs, strike out 235 guys, and you're going to trade that guy in the middle of that season? For Artie, I think it's a lot more complicated than, hey, what's the prospect package we get?
We're talking to Buster Olney, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball reporter, senior writer. Coming up Sunday night, it'll be the Astros and the Angels. How long have you been at ESPN?
20 years, just past my anniversary, just in June.
And you were a baseball reporter, baseball writer, and then you made the transition. How difficult was the transition to go from print to being on TV?
Extremely difficult. And I get asked the question all the time when I speak in front of journalism students, and your name always comes up because I tell the story about the first time I did a hit on SportsCenter with you. It was the first time I'd ever met you. And of course, I had a lot of nervousness. My heart rate was like 200. I get makeup for the first time to go in studio. And I walk in and the stage manager put me in front of a camera, what's known as a single shot. And I was relieved because I had done that before. Some familiar ground for me. And then the show goes to commercial, 60 seconds. And all of a sudden, five cameras and you come moving toward me. You've got your great TV voice, your comfort level that I'll never have. And you're like, hey, Buster, how's it going? And all I'm thinking about is, oh, my God, where am I supposed to look? And you were very funny because you're kind of chatty. And you're also like, it's very easy. You look at the jib and then you come back to me. And then you look at camera one, you give your answer. Then you come back to me and then you look back at the jib. Seconds. And I'm on air and you asked me a question about Javi Lopez signing with the Orioles. And I forgot everything. I forgot who he was. I forgot what city he was going to play for. I forgot what position he was going to play. You know, you've seen broadcast news, the flop set, you know, scene. That was me with about 30 more seconds. Thank God they got me off air in time and you ushered me out of the studio, I'm sure. And I was met by Chuck Solitaro, who's this, you know, great editor for ESPN for so many years. He met me and he said, don't worry about it. You know, you'll figure it out. We got you for your information. And so in that time, I've been able to reduce my heart rate from like 280, it was in that moment, to now probably about 110.
Yeah, you know, it's tough being a talking hairdo, Buster.
Oh, man.
If you had to make a World Series pick today, who would it be?
You know, I say the most dangerous team in baseball right now would be the Philadelphia Phillies, which is really odd because, you know, the Braves have been playing out of their minds. They've actually gained games in the standings over the last over the Phillies the last month. But since June 3rd, the Phillies are 23-9. They have a 2.96 ERA. Their pitching has come together dramatically. They have an ERA more than half a run better than any other team. And you know Dave Dombrowski, head of baseball ops, if they have holes before the deadline, they're going to fill them. They haven't seen the best out of Trey Turner. Bryce Harper hasn't hit for power yet. He will eventually. That's why I think the Braves, head of baseball ops, Alex Anthopoulos, he needs to fix that pitching staff and plug holes. They're okay. They haven't gotten Max Fried back yet, but at some point when they do, he's got to identify pitching because I think the Phillies are a really dangerous team in the postseason with the front of their rotation.
What about the American League?
Boy, I would have told you a month ago that it would be the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm kind of conflicted now. I do feel like that if the Yankees make a big move, as much as they're struggling now, if they get Judge back, this is their best postseason pitching staff that I think they may have put together in the last 5 or 6 years because that bullpen is totally dominant. Rodon is back. You got Gerrit Cole. Let's play it out. Let's say they do give up the players to get Ohtani. That would be the team to beat in the American League.
And
the,
but is there added pressure on Judge then to come back?
Yeah, I think there is. But I also believe that the way the Yankees culturally with their players, they always play the long game. You know, teams will often try to rush players back from injuries. The Yankees always consider to be October part of their season. So I think they're going to slow play it. They'll follow his body because let's face it, given the calendar, if he has one setback, Dan, that's it.
Yeah.
He's done for the year.
Buster, great to talk to you as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. Always fun to talk with you.
Buster Olney, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and he's part of the festivities this Sunday night. It'll be the Astros and the Angels. I told you there was a surprise team, Tampa Bay Rays. And you'd think, well, small market, are they going to be able to afford him? And I thought that that was interesting. You know, you have the usual suspects here with the Yankees and the Dodgers, maybe the Padres, maybe the Giants. Feels like there's five teams that, but you have to have, you got to be able to afford him, but you also have to have the prospects to give to the Angels here. Now, so it's not just, hey, we're going to pay you all this money. No, we're going to pay you all this money, and we got to give you prospects here. Yeah, Paul.
The highest payrolls in baseball right now, Mets are one, Yankees two, the Padres are three, the Philadelphia Phillies are four, Dodgers and Angels are both fifth and sixth. Then you go like Toronto, Atlanta. You got to go, Tampa Bay is 28th in salary, team salary at $73
million. Yeah, that would be a shocker if they were in the race for Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, and I left out the Mets too. Especially with their owner and disappointing year. Disappointing year for the Padres and the Mets when you consider how much money they spent. A couple of phone calls. Tom in North Carolina. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, I do have a conspiracy, a sports conspiracy or mystery you guys are talking about. But first I wanted to give you a heads up. Me and Doug in North Carolina, we're going to head north, pick up James in Virginia. You know, be up there sometime this afternoon. So.
Okay, if you do, Ryan in Honolulu, Austin in Virginia, then everybody gets a pie to the face.
All right, good deal.
Okay.
All right, Dan. So my conspiracy theory is, since a lot of these conspiracies involve Jordan, I was looking online. Is Michael Jordan the biological father of Jimmy Butler?
I don't know, Tom. Probably not going to spend a lot of time this weekend thinking about that. Although I saw where Jimmy Butler could be dating. Who's he dating? I just saw this where I went, oh, wow. Yeah, Paulie.
Shakira?
Yes. Yeah, they had a cozy dinner in London.
All right.
Yeah, I found multiple reports of that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And everybody say the same thing. Hips don't move. Shakira. Wasn't Tom Brady also in that, in the mix?
Shakira?
I think they went to a Formula One race. No matter where Brady goes, if he's in the vicinity, I think they're trying to pair him with Emily Ratajkowski.
Oh.
Well, he was just getting paired with a Kardashian as well, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think Tom needs to find like a school teacher, you know, somebody who's on the school board, you know, something that's a little bit, you know, just not as fast, you know, slow down. Yes, Tom.
I totally agree. It's like so cliche. Just, you know, find someone like a normal human being. Yeah. Doesn't have to be famous person with famous person all the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Are you still eating peanuts?
I'm not. That just might be my son.
Certainly sounds like you're eating peanuts. Yeah.
I was before, but not now.
Yes, Marv.
He said, yeah, I could have a school teacher, but Kim or Emily can dress like a school teacher.
Hey, now.
Whoa.
That's a little fair. Role playing. I like it.
Hey, man, Friday Fritzy. It's Marvin now.
Fabulous.
Yeah. The whitest show and the blackest theme song.
Sha-na-na-na.
We'll take a break. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? And not a website, but a person, an actual person in your community. That would also do it for free. There is that scenario. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge you. Everything is free. No fee for you to find a job. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest to you, or download the Express Jobs app to get started. Wide range of opportunities, variety of industries, welding, sales, forklift operator, customer service. The team at Express is ready to help you or somebody you know find their next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job or maybe a full-time role, a new one, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express can be as easy as a phone call, or one application with Express Employment will put you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go into your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com. Expresspros.com.
It's the first one I remember. As Seton was saying, you know, we're nostalgic when it comes to this. But I just remember this, and it was so impactful because it was such a huge show at the time. Happy Days was another one that had a great theme song as well. But Seton says we're sleeping on the newer shows with their theme songs.
Like even somebody had mentioned on Twitter that nobody brought up The Sopranos. That theme song was a big deal.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. But we immediately go back to the ones from when, you know, we were kids or something like that. But there's great ones happening right now.
Yeah.
White Lotus.
Yes, Mar.
My second pick was going to be Maude.
It was not going to be Maude.
Mary Tyler Moore, though.
Yes. Oh, you're going to make it after all. Man, I was in love with Mary Tyler Moore. What a great show. Yes, Mark.
And I was in love with Maude, so. Bonnie Godiva was it?
Yes, Paul.
I like The Wire, like when the neck comes on. That's another one I don't skip forward. I kind of like let the song play out a little bit.
I'd love to be able to witness the process of what are you trying to capture? You know, because we see these, music, the theme songs for movies and how they stay with you. There's certain, songs or, the Jaws theme. I think that was a tuba. Does that sound right? The Jaws?
I thought it was, I remember seeing John Williams, the conductor on 60 Minutes, and he did it on the end of a piano. He just starts going, doom, 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 doom. He was showing people how he came
up. I think it's a bassoon, actually.
Oh, but for some reason, I thought it was a tuba.
An oboe.
Dun, 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 dun.
Could we Google that?
Checking.
Just because I don't want people to be waiting for this answer.
Yeah, stay in your lane, Dan.
Well, no, if I'm wrong, I'll admit that. I just thought for some reason it was a tuba. Yeah, Pauline.
I've got six basses, four trombones, and a tuba.
Okay, hello. That's a walk-off.
Not a sousaphone, Dan, a tuba.
Yes.
A crocodile to an alligator.
He's the Hall of Famer, Clippers consultant, and 14-time All-Star Jerry West back on the program. Number two pick overall. How did you get the phone call to tell you you'd been drafted by the Lakers? Do you remember?
I didn't get a phone call. I was in college, and somebody came back, I believe, and that's a long time ago, Dan. Someone from the PR department from the West Virginia University came back and told me. I didn't even know till I guess the day after it happened.
Was there a competition with you and Oscar since Oscar was taken number one overall?
Well, I'd like to think there was. When I first started in the league, he was so much advanced, more advanced than me. And I think that by playing in the Olympic Games together, it probably showed me that I had a way to go in terms to maybe get to where I could be considered maybe his equal or even as good as him. But his route there was a lot different. And he played from Indianapolis. He played there. He had a lot of great competition. So I didn't see that kind of competition, certainly not in college. And he's still one of the players I most admire most from my time during the NBA.
I want you to be the GM of the Angels. What would you do with Shohei Ohtani if you were running the Angels, of trying to keep him or trade him at the trade deadline?
Oh, my goodness. That's an incredible question. You know, one of the things, Dan, I pay attention to all sports, and every once in a while, one of these iconic players comes into any sport, and you're actually enthralled by him. With him, he's one of the most unique players that I think I've ever seen in baseball from this perspective. Go out and pitch, bat. And I wonder if he would just take one side of the game and really concentrate on that. What would he really be? But my goodness, he's just an amazing, he's probably the most interesting player in the baseball for me. And I'm not a huge baseball fan until we get to World Series time.
Mm-hmm. But what do you do as a GM? Can you go talk to him or his agent, just say, help me understand here. Do you want to stay? What kind of money are we talking about? If not, then I gotta trade you.
Well, I think that's a great question again, Dan. The last part of it, which I was going to answer, he's such a draw, Dan. You can't measure what he does for a team. In New York, you know, people come to see the Yankees. I mean, they're like the Dodgers. Their name is going to be there forever. But with him, my goodness, I would think the way he attracts people, all kinds of people, and the closeness that fans feel to him, he's one of those unique players. I would have a difficult time letting him go. A very difficult time. And I would do anything in my power to keep him, simply because if you look at Los Angeles, and particularly New York also, the diversity in the population, people from, you know, everywhere, he's a melting pot. Both cities are for people who have immigrated this country and established themselves.
So you would keep him. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. But if you know that he wants to test the market, then he's going to put you in a really delicate situation, because you might end up losing him and not have anything to show for it.
Well, that's the other side of the equation. Dan, I think it's really important in regards to what you're doing when you run a team. Establish close personal relationships with these people. Make sure they know how much you care about them and want them. There isn't something like a block there. He's Japanese at heart. And if you listen to him talk, you don't even know what he's thinking sometimes. Yeah. He's so well coached in everything he does. But oh my gosh, that would be the first thing. And you need honesty. And today, difficult to find in among agents and players, I think.
Talking to Jerry West, the Hall of Famer, what piece of advice would you give Victor Wembanyama after watching him play?
Just gain some weight. And he explains himself really well, Dan. He is unbelievably polished. I think after the first game I saw him play in the summer league, I would say I went there, and maybe because of all the hype, I was expecting to see a little bit more. He gets up with the writers afterwards, and how many times do you see an athlete say, you know, I didn't play my best game. I think I'm going to get better going forward. Mostly there's it's hard to get some honest answers from players today because of the way they're taught, what they see with other athletes conducting themselves in front of a microphone. But he got up and he said, I'm going to get better going forward. He's fun. He got a smile on his face. But the way he will represent it, not only the Spurs, but the league, is what's going to make him really special beside of his ability.
Compare him at 19 with Kobe.
You know, I'm not really supposed to talk about other athletes, but Kobe was more advanced. You know, he wasn't that height. His body was bigger, but they both bring a different kind of excitement to the game. And I'm very hopeful that for the Spurs, and particularly for the league, that he will be one of those players that will people want to come see play because of the uniqueness of his talent. And anything that's good for basketball, and particularly the growth of the game, I'm all for it.
All right, I don't want you to get fined here, but I saw where James. James,
I'm gonna call Adam and tell him.
Yes, yeah, I'll call Adam and tell him. James Harden says that he wants to go to the Clippers.
I'm not going to get into that one, Dan.
You're not okay. That'll cost us if you talk about that.
That crosses the line. You know, players say a lot of things, Dan, but they really don't have control of where they go.
How important is Summer League, in your opinion, as a former GM?
I would say that you'd have to go back in time, because there was, it first started here in Los Angeles, and one of the people that doesn't get enough credit for running the Summer League, Warren Legere, used to be a former agent, a great friend of mine, and he's done an incredible job. It started here in Los Angeles. It went to Long Beach, came back to L.A., and all of a sudden, here it is in Vegas. This is a training ground for the NBA teams. You have all these young coaches today, and certainly we need, we're always looking for new coaches who can come in and breach the gap when at one time coaches were recycled so much, Dan. And I think after a second time, at least I would look at it and say, there's something wrong here. Let's get some of these new young coaches a chance. And there's some great coaches in our league, and there's been great coaches in the past. And secondly, it's a training ground for the officials. It's just amazing how all-encompassing this is, how it helps other teams, how it helps the NBA. Last but not least, who would ever have thought that we would have two sellouts in a big building to watch these kids play? It is popular. You go to Vegas, there's two, it's the ideal venue. There's a gym where the ladies play and a gym where the bigger gym where the men play. And it's just amazing what I've seen the league accomplish over these terms of time, but they're involved. And it's also last but not least, people who want to see these young, very hyped players, they get a chance to watch every one of their games on TV. No one would ever have seen that before. And it's been tremendous.
Would the game be better if we took out the three-point line?
Well, Dan, I think in 1988, I'm going to give you a background. I believe in 1988, the Lakers won the championship that year. And I don't want to completely mess this up, but it's been a long time ago. I think we shot like 280 free throws and 3-point shots in the course of a game during the regular season. A few more in the playoff. But that team was one of those unique teams that you don't see assembled together. It's just hard to do it today with so many different teams selecting every time in the draft. And if you can get a team that has really a unique talent set, there wouldn't be a lot. It wouldn't be the emphasis on the game to shoot all of these threes. I think sometimes, Dan, it just gets to the point where I'm kind of an elitist when it comes – not an elitist. I'm a purist when it comes to watching teams play. I get very excited to watch, again, these rookies. But it gets to the point where passing, which is one of the most beautiful parts of basketball, it is not there anymore. You can get a 3-on-1 break. The guy with the ball, he always goes to the basket. And I would rather see passing, where crisp passing – and people want to see, obviously, the dunks and the three-point shots today, which we have a lot of players who are so athletic today that do that. But I enjoy the passing part of it. And if I'm watching a game and particularly a young player comes in there and watching him throw these crisp passes, the coach is going to like that. But the game has changed, and it will change even more. I would say, do you think we're ever going to have a 4-point shot? Who knows? Yeah. I would hope they would keep it where it is. But back to the 288 free throws. A team will do that in, a three-point shot. A team will do that maybe in 6 games now.
Yeah.
So it's part of their repertoire. We're seeing people that work on their shooting so much. I mean, you see kids 6'8", 6'9", 7 feet shooting out there. I would prefer, as I say, just a little bit more game where the coaches have some control to try to make their team more competitive. Bad shots will cost you 2 points at least on the other end today.
Who's in your starting five? You, and then who else is in the backcourt with you? Who's your big man?
In 1970.
No, right now. If looking back, who would be your, who's in the backcourt with you?
Oh my gosh, Dan, it would be, I wouldn't put my name in that era. I would have loved to play in this era with everything.
No, but you got your all-time team. You can take whoever you want.
Well, there's three players that would be on there right away, okay?
Yeah.
One of them presently playing, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. I would take those three players because the uniqueness of the game today is because it's almost a positionless league. Those three players would fit in incredibly beautifully. All of them could play probably three positions, and they have. But the greatness of them as players, drives other people. They're the people that get it done when it counts most. And the rest of them, I could probably do 10, but I'm not going to go there.
Well, who's your big man? Who's your big man?
I'm not going there. there's so many of them. I mean, there's so many of them. My goodness, you know, you go back to when I played. And again, Dan, that's a long time ago. You had three players, Chamberlain,
Russell,
Abdul-Jabbar, Hakeem Olajuwon, Bill Walton when he wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss someone, and I do apologize to the others that I forgot, but didn't suspect you were going to ask me that question.
Do you care where you're ranked in basketball history? We see like the top 10, and you know Steph Curry might eventually be a top 10 player of all time, or Kevin Durant. Do you care?
No, Dan, I don't live in the past. I've been one of those people that, fortunate enough that, I guess my ego is not big enough to even care about that stuff. I was just happy that I had to that I had a chance to play when the league was growing, when it was like a high school game when you went in the gymnasium. Some of the incredibly funny stories that happened when you traveled and coached with two 7-footers on our team to even watch them try to sleep on the plane. Some guys can just go right to sleep. And one of my fondest memories of one of those, Leroy Ellis, a late Leroy Ellis, he would get on a plane. He was asleep before the plane went off, before it took off, and he was asleep when it landed. But he always had this gigantic blanket over his head. I have no idea how he ever did that.
How did Wilt get on these planes?
Well, as I say, you got on some way, somehow, and players were very resilient there, and there was no money in the league, and you did really play because you liked the competition. I think for all of us who played during that era, a lot of players who, and there's not a lot of players still living from that era. Knock on wood, I'm still standing, so to speak. A few of them very envious and jealous of the salaries that players are making today. That has never bothered me one bit. I just feel fortunate that I had a chance to play, and people thought I was pretty good, I guess, when you get named to one of the top 75 players.
Yeah.
It's just been an unbelievable journey for me, so to speak, to come from a real small place, play at West Virginia, my home state, which I still love today, and to play for one team. And it wasn't a team of my choice. I was drafted.
Yeah.
And you had no rights to go anywhere else other than wear that uniform unless they wanted to get rid of you. There's no equality for players then, that's for sure.
Did I ever tell you the story? You guys came into Cincinnati and the Royals beat you, and I got your autograph, and I got Bill Sharman. I got everybody but Wilt. And Wilt sat in the first seat on the bus, and after the game, I saw him there. He didn't sign my autograph. I walked on the bus. I took one step up, and I said, "You, Mr. Chamberlain, would you sign my autograph?" And he stood up and he said, "Get the F off the bus." And that was my encounter with Wilt.
Well, that was probably not what you expected, I'm guessing.
It was so great. Today, it was great.
Today, not only the security guard, but the entrance to the bus is really protected because usually under arena.
Oh, but yeah.
Things have really changed.
I wouldn't have had a chance to say hello. I wouldn't have gotten even close, but yeah, I never got Wilt's autograph there. Got everybody else's. Your penmanship, beautiful. Gorgeous.
Well, when I was a kid in school, I used to be I'd win the penmanship awards. And today I certainly wouldn't do it, that's for sure.
It's great to catch up with you. Hope you're feeling well, and thanks for joining us as always.
Anytime, Dan. Just don't ask those tough questions.
I know.
Be fine. Okay.
Okay.
Make sure you call the commissioner. Thank you so much.
That's Jerry West, Hall of Famer. Yeah, I've gotten a few people fined for asking them questions. But he works with the Clippers, but James Harden says he wants to play for the Clippers, and that's one team. And then, you know, you start to think about, can I ask him about Ja Morant? No, I can't. LeBron James? No, I can't. And then I thought, you know, let me not make it about today's game. Yes, Pauline.
And then he asks about all-time teams. He's got to go through all the Lakers, because if he puts on one Laker and leaves off another Laker.
I know.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.